I know it's early in the morning. But if God has truly been good to you, somebody ought to stand on their feet and give God a Holy Ghost praise this morning. I know I'm in the right place now. First and always giving honor to God who was first in my life, to the esteemed angel of this house, and none other than Reverend Darrell LaRue Armstrong, our pastor. Amen. Amen. To the officers, deacons, deaconess, and all of the officers of this very fine church, and also the members of God, and those that are even visiting, I greet you this morning with Jesus' joy. I heard it said this way, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. In the name of Jesus. I also want to give honor to the ushers today who have greeted you with smiles and hospitality, to these musicians who are truly my brothers in Christ, and to this fine, fine choir. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is good to be here. I also want to give thanksgiving to those that are here on the pulpit with me. Deacon Wilson, who has been a longtime friend, he and his wife. And to pretty Miss Nia Driver. Amen. It's one thing to sit next to you, but it's another thing to sit next to something that's beautiful in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to call out a whole lot of names because it'd take all afternoon. But to all of you, Sister Chester, I see you straight in front of me. In the name of Jesus. It's good, as I said, to be here. But it's also good to always be welcome back home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And I know that there is a second watch. Songs have already been sung. Effectual and fervency of prayer has already been prayed. Now it is time for the proclamation of God's word. Stand with me, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. And I want to read one verse, 12 and 41. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say hold on. The word of God is good for everybody.
Amen.
The book of St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 41, it reads as follows. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? This is the word of God for the people of God. Let all of God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Bow with me in a word of prayer on this thought this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for being in your service one more time.
Yes, yes.
And now, God, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I ask, O God, that you would hide me behind your cross. And that every word that proceeds out of my mouth, Father, let it be of you and none of my own.
Yes.
And then, God, for your children that have their heads bowed and their eyes closed, when they pick them up and open their eyes, God, allow them to look beyond humanity and see you high and lifted up. Yes. Have thine way, God. Lord, I pray by your spirit that somebody may get healed today. Yes. The captives may be set free. Yes. But most of all, somebody will come asking, what must I do to be saved? And then, Father God, for all of those in us that already know you and the pardon of our sins, we pray right now for a closer walk with thee. Yes. Holy Spirit, have thine way. Yes. Yes. Somebody walked the hallways all last night, didn't know how they was going to make it. Holy Ghost, show up right now. Yes. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, let all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You all have to excuse me just for 30 seconds. I thank everybody but my wife. And I learned a lesson a long time ago. I spend more time with her than anybody else. So let me get it right. I also honor this woman who I call the apple of my eye, who's a good woman. And is also helping me to be a good man.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Oh, God bless God. Sister McBride, come on and stand up. I want them to see you, the same one I left with. I bring her back today. And church, don't she look good? Somebody doing something right in this place. In the name of Jesus. Luke 12:41. Are you ready? Are you ready? Brothers and sisters, if you look at this whole section of from verse 35 in chapter 12 through verse 48, it is broken up into two parables. They join together by the one question in verse number 41, which reads again, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us? Or to all people? The question first, secondly, has to be, why is God speaking in parables? You must understand, brothers and sisters, that a parable is basically an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I recall when Jesus, even himself, the disciples came to him and asked him in Matthew 3:13-10, they asked, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered the question quite revealing in that same Gospel of Matthew. And it says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. See, you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Come on, somebody. Here we are in a time when, in a land of plenty, we have more than we could ever ask for. But our hearts have turned dull.
Yes, yes.
And not to the world, but to God himself. The one that woke us up this morning and put the energy in our body to get up. And have the extremity of our limbs. But it didn't stop there. It was God who put it in our mind and gave us a desire to come to Shiloh this morning.
Yes.
Don't let nobody fool you. It wasn't you. Everybody's here today at an appointed time by God himself.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, God. But he went on to explain. He says, their ears are hard of hearing. And their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. It doesn't mean today, brothers and sisters, I know everybody's looking up front and looking at me. But the question is, by me and around me, can you see God? Because it's not about me, church. It's about the God that is in us. That somebody will see, even in a dark world, that he still lives.
Yes, yes.
in the name of Jesus. Unwillingness on the part of people to receive Jesus' message. And even though I'm here today, I want to believe, because not everybody's going to believe what thus says the Lord. I'm not that naive to think that everybody who came today came for the same reason. I'm not naive to understand that if you want something from God, you needed to come in with some expectation.
Yes, yes.
Looking for something. If you came here because this is where mommy and daddy grew you up, or you're laying on the coattails of grandmom and grandpa, you're going to miss it. Songs of Zion that this choirs already sung, that's a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God, the effectual and the fervency of prayer. The Bible said they avail much. And then the Word. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I can't see around the corner, but the Word has already told me what to expect. Already told me that we don't live in this life. It's a rose garden. Everything is going to be like we want it to be. Every once in a while, we're going to have some trials and tribulations. And the last time I checked, when I became a Christian, it seemed like I got more trials.
Yes, yes, yes. Speak the truth.
But it's all right.
Yes, it is.
Because if you know who I know, Deacon, he'll make everything all right. Not really, he's already made it all right, because I'm a child of the King. Somebody, come on. Clap your hands if you will. Say hallelujah every once in a while. But if you say amen, say it because you agree with what thus says the Lord. In the name of Jesus. No form of fashion in God's house. He's present by the power of the Holy Ghost. He sees, he knows everything. You may hide from us, but you can't hide from God. And I believe when we stop hiding from God, the church will get better. Our homes will get stronger. And even on our jobs, from the poorhouse up to the CEO's office, God's word will go forth, and even they will get in line with thus says the Lord. Church, we don't give up. We don't give up. And isn't it interesting? We don't give up on God, and God hasn't given up on us. I'm going to explain that a little bit more. I don't want to sit right there. I know some of you are sitting there. How are you saying, Pastor, I've given up on God? It don't mean because you're here today. It don't mean because you read your Bible throughout the week. The difference is what you read, are you living it? Can this world see Jesus in you and I?
Yes, yes.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
Because the last time I checked, the Holy Ghost got power.
Yes.
It's got power. And if the Holy Ghost is in you and I, see the question, brothers and sisters, a lot of us got saved, but we stopped right there.
Come on now. Preach the word.
Something else has to take place. You got to get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost will help you to talk to your brothers right.
Yeah.
Even pray for those who despitefully use you.
Yeah.
But most of all, God said it this way: if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
The world don't know the difference today from the church. Then Calhoun Street. The community just knows that there's a building here where they say they go in and worship God. But the question is, after you have come in, how do you leave? Do you leave representing the Most High God? Or do you leave with the same baggage you came in with? Come on, somebody. But let me make it plain. If you came in with some baggage, you can leave it here today.
Yes, yes, yes.
You can put it at the altar and tell God what you need. Just leave it. And one thing I found about my God, he's got big enough shoulders to carry it all. Part of the problem in Christian doom today, we come out of God's house with the Holy Spirit. It's not that he didn't show up. The question is, did we show up? We leave out of here. We come in with lump shoulders pinned over, and we leave out the same way. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. How can you be in the presence of God and not go out better? Filled. Yes, the devil's on my track. Matter of fact, when I was leaving this morning at the front door, he was there.
Yes, he was.
But I rebuked him in the name of Jesus. The truth of the matter, if you ask him, he didn't want you to be here this morning. But we rebuke him in Jesus' name. Because he don't understand the appointment that God has for you and I. Come on, somebody. Oh, I love you, God. You're worthy, God. Even Paul himself echoed the same thing about what a parable is and why does God give parables. Over there in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 8, 11, and 14, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of his rulers of this age knew. Come on, somebody. They didn't know it because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But thank God, I'm glad they crucified him.
All right.
But more importantly, I'm glad he got up early Sunday morning.
Hey.
Because if he hadn't got up, we might as well just close these books and go on back home and live and be married. But he got up.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Most people were not interested in the truth. That's the reason why Jesus spoke in parables. He knew that only the children of God would have an understanding, but those on the outside that was looking for something but not for God would never get it. And guess what, church? Nothing is new under the sun.
That's right.
The same thing that Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the high priest. It's the same thing that God is dealing with today. We really don't want to hear the truth. Because if we do, the truth makes us change. And let me make it clear, brothers and sisters, if you want to change, tell that sinner boy and that sinner girl that's out there in the world that keeps talking about, I can't come in because I don't have it right yet. Let them know that they can't get it right unless they come in. Last time I checked, when I look at my own life, I didn't change until he changed me. But I was willing to come. And the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters, because none of us have already obtained it all. From the pulpit to the back door, we're still dealing with some stuff. But when I ask God, when I get on my bended knees, I says, God, I'm not all that you've asked me to be. I didn't say everything you told me to say. And my thoughts weren't always pleasant in the way that I should have had them. But God, allow me to look into your mirror. And then after you allow me to see me for who I really am, then let the Holy Ghost change me. Not Archie, not Brenda, not Mommy, not Daddy. They did a good job. They doing a good job. But Holy Ghost, change me. In the name of Jesus. People weren't interested in the truth. Today, people aren't interested in the truth. Last time I checked, my Bible says the word of God, the truth will set you free.
Yes.
And we living in a world, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you all, but my heart is crying.
Yes.
I read the newspapers. I look at the news. I listen to conversations. We're living in a time where young men are killing themselves just as easy as drinking a glass of water. Boys and girls are cursing their parents. Come on, somebody. Greed just seems to be the order of the day. Not that I can work for it and be honest about it, but any way I can get it. It doesn't matter if I got to kill, steal, and destroy as Satan does. If I want it, that's the way I'll get it. My heart bleeds, church. But my question and my concern, where is the church? Where is the church? I haven't been in Trenton for a few years. I still ride through it. And the last time I checked, there's a church on this corner, on that corner, in between the corner. Where is the church? Sadly to be said that we don't even know Shiloh and, let me take that back, Armstrong coming back. Sadly to say, we don't even know the other Christians at the church in between the block and down the block.
That's the truth.
But in between each of our edifices, these beautiful buildings, hell is raging like fire. And nobody wants to stand and speak about the injustices that are going on, not only in our city, but I tell you what, if it's going on in the city, I guarantee you, it's going on in the home also.
Yes, yes.
Because Jesus doesn't have a part-time voice. He speaks all the time. Come on, let me continue on. It's getting late. As Jesus spoke about the parables, Peter's question holds, as I said earlier, two parables together. But Peter wanted to know the extent of the first parable's meaning. Was it addressed only to the disciples or to everyone? Let me answer that question for you. I'm reminded of the Apostle John in the book of Revelations. The Bible says by revelation in God's Jesus' spirit, he wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Come on, somebody. But if you look at each one of those letters, at the end of the letter, all of them say this: he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Brothers and sisters, God the Holy Spirit sent me by this morning here at Shiloh to say it again. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. The Gospel of Luke is both a warning to Christians who have grown apathetic and an encouragement to those who are faithfully enduring the struggles of this word. Apathetic. Having or showing a lack of interest or concern. How can God's people looking into the world that's going on not be concerned? How can we be concerned? I don't care how young they are and how old they are, they're still children. And when I was coming along over there in Levittown, that little town called Bloomsdale, come on, somebody. I can remember running around that little town. I couldn't get away with nothing. I don't care how far I got around the corner. Somebody's parents came out and they scolded me and told me, if I didn't straighten out, I'll take you to your parents. Now, what are we doing now? Brother Wayne, if it's not my child, we just go in and bolt the door. And isn't it interesting? When my mom and daddy came along, they didn't even lock the door. Now we got 6 bolt locks on the door. Come on, somebody. And now when trouble comes, as long as it's not my child, we go in and lock the door and pull down the shades. But let me tell somebody something. If you keep on messing around, trouble will be inside your house.
That's right.
It just didn't stop on your street. If you ain't careful, it'll be up on your step. And if it ain't on your step, it'll be in your house. Because the last time I checked, they don't want to work no more. And you got something on the inside that they can use, that they can sell to make a living. Somebody's got to speak up in the name of Jesus. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Brothers and sisters, it's simple. Let your waist be guarded and your lamps burning. In other words, be prepared. Keep the light on, because he is coming back. Don't let nobody fool you that because it looks all right today, that he's not coming back. He is coming back on a cloud. And the Bible says after the angels and the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those that are living shall rise together. He's coming back. I can remember the disciples back there in Acts, the first chapter, before Jesus ascended on to heaven. They asked him, when are these things going to take place? He told them that only the Father knew the time and the hour. And I don't know about you all, brothers and sisters, if I look at what's going on in the world, the Bible, go back to Matthew 24, read it when you get home. It talks about rumors and rumors of war. Talks about perilous times, and my God, if we're not living in them, open your eyes and see. My Bible tells me towards the end of time, you won't even know the spring, summer, fall, and winter from one another. Sometimes, I don't know about you all, I see three seasons in one weekend. Come on, somebody. But you got to have a spiritual eye to see it. You can't see it with a natural eye. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how big your 401k is. I don't care what kind of house or what car you drove in today. That ain't going to get you there. Let me just make it simple. It don't cost nothing. You don't have to work for it. The truth of the matter, once you get it, you got to work. My Bible is clear in Romans 9 and 10. If you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's the only way, church. And I compel somebody in here today that has not confessed Jesus, but are contemplating, should I do it now or should I wait till next week? I heard it said this way, today ain't guaranteed and tomorrow ain't promised. If you got an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But it didn't stop there, brothers and sisters. It says, and yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding. Come on, somebody. I believe God was talking about Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Talking about the 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom to come. The bridegroom is Jesus. If you're saved, you're the bride. And the Bible says they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and he didn't show up when he was supposed to, but there was 10 virgins, 5 with wise and the other ones. Come on, somebody. Bible says it was midnight. Lanterns were burning, waiting for the bride. The 5 who had extra oil had enough until Jesus came. But the other 5 that were unwise, they ran out of oil, church. And they even had the audacity to ask the other 5 to give me some oil. Come on, somebody. Let me talk about this oil just for a moment. The same oil that runs down Aaron's beard. The oil in this passage represents the Holy Ghost. And you can't ask me for my Holy Ghost because God gave it to me that I may be able to live right. It's not something that you can sell or just give to somebody. If you ask for it, God will give it to you. Come on, somebody. The bridegroom showed up. Five of them didn't have enough oil to keep the lamps burning. I say to somebody today, who's out of oil? And if you don't have enough oil, you're in the right place today. Metaphorically, I'm not talking about a liquid this morning. I'm talking about a spirit. All you got to do at the proper time in this service today, when the doors are open, is walk down the middle aisle. Don't worry about what your neighbor thinks or what somebody else is saying. The last time I checked, I'm just trying to make it to glory. I'm just trying to get it right down here so I know where I'm going when the time comes. A lot of us don't even know where we're going. Come on, let's make it personal. Between now and the time you get home, ask yourself a question. Based on where I'm at, where am I going? And I ain't talking about to the movies or the dinner place this afternoon, church. I'm talking about something spiritual right now. Because surely as you live, we all gonna die. But guess what? My Bible tells me, if I'm a son of God, I ain't gonna die. I'm just gonna sleep a little while. Come on, somebody. Ask yourself the question. Make it personal. Get all by yourself. Get in a quiet place. Turn the TV off. Turn down the plate and the spoon if you have to. Get in a quiet place. And just ask God. God, here I am. Nobody but you and I. And God, I'm concerned. I heard Reverend McBride and Reverend Armstrong preach from Sunday to Sunday and talk about this place called heaven, where every day is Sunday and Sabbath has no end. But I'm concerned today, God. I'm concerned. Am I going to make it to heaven, or am I headed to hell? Make sure you mention that hell, because it's a real place, church. And I say to you today, find out where you're going today. Don't wait until you close your eyes.
Thank you, God.
Because if you don't get it right, there's no second chance. Even though we serve a second and a third chance, God, but you got a chance to get right with God today.
Yes.
He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. My God. And isn't it interesting? God, to the children of God, he gave the mystery. I'm reminded over there in John 14, 1 and 3. He didn't leave us comfortless. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Come on, church. I thank God for the roof and the dwelling that he's given me. But I've learned something. Take my emphasis off of earthly stuff.
Yes, yes.
And put it on eternal stuff.
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you keep working and working and working and you want this shelter, this home, this mansion, and it ain't happening on this side, guess what? If you give your life to God, there's one waiting for you on the other side. And here's what I love about the other side. There's no more sickness. No more death. No more pain. And guess what? On the other side, in that mansion that's got my name on it, I don't even have to pay the electricity or the heat. Come on, somebody. I don't even even have to worry about putting food in the refrigerator, because my Bible tells me along the peaceful shore, there's some trees over there.
Thank the Lord.
That'll feed you and I.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. I thank God. Yes, it's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
But it's a beautiful day if you got Jesus on your side.
Yes.
If you came in here impersonating a fraud, it's not a beautiful day, church. Come on, somebody. Even though the sun shines on the outside, the problem is you don't have no sunshine on the inside.
Speak the word.
Because the last time I checked, there's a whole lot of folks walking around with a smile on their face, but they tore up inside. Come on, I'd rather be with a smile on the inside that permeates to the outside. And then when somebody sees a smile, I can look them in the eye and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not because of me, but because what Jesus did on Calvary. Come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus. Oh, he's good. He's good. And I'm about to take my seat. And I love that one verse where it says, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, and to him they will ask the more. I said earlier, stop trying to load your life up with possessions on this side.
Yeah.
A week ago, I preached a sermon at Shiloh in Wardentown last week out of the book of Amos. And as I was studying in Amos, God spoke to me. And I had to look around my house and ask myself, do I need that? Do I need that? Do I need this? Yeah, I need you. Because brothers and sisters, if you ain't careful, you will let something that can't even talk back to you keep you from glory. In the name of Jesus, I fell on my knees and I said, God, I thank you for everything, but I just need to be sure, God, that I'm standing right with you right now. Because Lord, if I'm not, if I got anything that's keeping me from getting closer to you, show me, God, and I'll get rid of it. Because it's more important to me to have a relationship with God than have a house full of stuff.
Yes, yes. Right.
Stuff can't get me to heaven,
hey.
Brother Minister. Truth of the matter, stuff can't even make you and me happy.
That's right.
Soon as you buy it, the novelty wears off before you pay the bill, somebody. Come on, somebody. There's no peace in this life unless you got Jesus.
Right.
He's coming back. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you really ready?
Yes.
Don't say it to me while you're here in church. When you go home, ask God the question, where am I going to spend eternity? And if you're not sure, if you ain't 99 and 1 won't do, church. You need to be 100% sure that when my eyes close or when Jesus comes back, I know where I'm going to spend an eternity. I'm going to be right there face to face with Almighty God. And if you can't say that, you need to repent and get right. Are you ready? Jesus, God just asked me to come by to ask somebody, are you ready? Are you ready? Not for me or the church. Jesus. 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 Come on, somebody. Jesus. Come on, say it with me. Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let the church say amen. Come on, let the church say amen. In Jesus' name. The doors of the church are open. Is there one? ministers, the deacon and the deaconess. They're coming. Is there one today? Is there one? Is there one?
Jesus.
You don't even have to come all the way. Somebody will take your hand and bring you. Is there one today? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? My next invitation is under Christian experience. Is there somebody here today that already knows Jesus Christ, but you don't have a church home, but the Holy Ghost has spoken and says, come in the name of Jesus. Is there one today? Baptism, Christian experience. My last invitation is under restoration. You may have been a member of Shiloh Baptist Church here in Trenton at one time, but for whatever reason you left, but you're here today and God says, come. Is there one today? Is there one? Is there one? Is there one? Come on, if he's worthy, sing along with the choir. He's worthy. He's worthy. Oh, if you know him and he's done anything for you, he's worthy. Praise him.